following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Can you tell it might be a little bit different tonight? You ready to hear from seven different people? You're wondering how long will this take? Not as long as you think. We're continuing on prayer, and I think I told you last week what we're planning to do tonight, and without any rehearsal, with a very minimal amount of prep for three couples and one brother who's going to come up and share with it. In fact, he's right there, Dave Sylvester. How many of you remember Dave? He's from Calvary Chapel in York, England, and runs the Bible College there, a wonderful church in the north of England. And Dave's the one, along with Steve and Dan, right here. Dan and Dave and Steve and I went over and we did the setup hike for these hiking tours that we're doing in Israel. But these are the guys that got it started. So it's an interesting night. Dan and Dave, who hiked many miles in Israel together. So I asked Dave if he would come. He's in town for the pastor's conference. Many, many pastors are coming into town right now from all over the world. I walked into the prayer meeting this morning with a few pastors down at Costa Mesa, and Julian Duguid is that how you say Julian's last name? I think it's Duguid, something like that. He was on his way, and just a wonderful brother. He's been here too. You've met him before. And then Dave came up with Brian, and I'm excited. One of the things I want to share with you, and I'll do this very briefly, trust me. I don't know why you're laughing, but trust me. I was reading this morning in Jeremiah, in chapter 18, I came across this verse. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, you know, America's not in the Bible anywhere? You ever heard that? Well, of course the name America is not in the Bible anywhere, but it's all over the Bible. Any place it talks about all the nations of the world. In those general and inclusive terms, America's going to be in there. So when you read those frightening passages in the book of Revelation that talks about all the nations of the world turning against Israel, sad to say, we'll probably be a part of that. And I think some of the wind of that change has already started. But it's in Jeremiah chapter 18. And it's the classic chapter where Jeremiah is encouraged by God, instructed by God, go down to the potter's house. I want to show you something. How many of you have God say something to you when he shows you something? It's just you get a message when you see something. It's a visual. And apparently Jeremiah was a very visual person, and God spoke to him in word pictures. And so he sends him down to the potter's house, and in the briefest of words, he says, look, I can do what I want with my clay. It's my clay. And whether it's you as a person or Israel as a nation, he said, I can do whatever I want with this clay. And if something goes wrong, I can, you know, smash it all down and I can rebuild again that same hunk of clay. But listen to what he says here. And I'd never noticed this. So he says in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, that's a direct word to the house of Israel. But listen to where he takes it from there. He speaks in more general terms, and he says in verse 7, the instant I speak concerning a nation, not just this nation, but a nation, if that's any nation, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. Does everybody agree with me? That's kind of bad news to hear, that God's going to pluck up, pull down, destroy a nation. Here's the good news. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. God says, I will answer their prayer. If they turn, I will turn from that plan of destruction. That instant I speak concerning it. If it does evil in my sight, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. If that nation against whom I've spoken turns, I will relent. Verse 9, and the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build up and to plant it, that's wonderful. And there really was a time when God said, I'm going to use, no question, I'm going to use America as a launching pad, as a refuge, but especially as a launching pad for ministry and missions and church planters. Send them all over the world. Dave and Nancy. We're one of those. Launched out of churches here in America, Joy and I down to Australia, the Russells down to Australia, the Johnsons up to Northern Ireland, and the Fergusons to Kenya. And so a great blessing has been upon our nation. But the instant I speak concerning a nation to build it and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. The reason I want to share that tonight in this, you know, continuing series and focus, which we will continue on Wednesday night as a Refuge School of Prayer, is that we need to make sure in all that we're praying for, because I believe we're responsible to pray for this nation. In everything else we're praying for, our own aches and pains, our relational issues and problems, our own finances, our own health, our own church, missions and evangelism, God has called His people in their nation. How many, this is your home nation. This is where you were born. Let me see the hands of those who were born right here. This is your nation. I believe this is your responsibility as well. As well as any other nation that God has you connected to lift your voice and pray for His work and His hand upon a nation that might have gone astray. And if it hasn't gone astray, if the nation you're from hasn't gone astray, then pray for this nation, because this nation has gone astray. But I want to read to you from that passage that we all know so well. In fact, I knew one church that they turned their midweek, I think it was, might have been Wednesday, might have been a Thursday, but they turned their midweek into a prayer meeting, and they typically would start their evening service at 7:30. Can you believe that? It was up in San Fernando Valley, and people getting home, it was a chore. And so they said, well, let's start at 7:30. And then when God really spoke to them about becoming a house of prayer, they started their worship service or their prayer meeting at 7:16 or 7:14, because of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And those first 16 minutes were nothing but prayer. And people got in there early, and some got down on their knees, and the prayers were lifted up, and God blessed. But He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people called by my name, and notice the four things, it wasn't just pray and ask, but if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I'll heal. There's conditions on that blessing God wants to bring to our nation. So what I'm going to ask you to do just for really just a few minutes tonight, because I want to get to the forum on prayer and give Dave some time to share with us a really cool thing that he was talking to me about before we came out. I want to just take about 4 or 5 minutes and just pray in a circle of 4 and no more than 5 people for America right now. We have crossed so many thresholds, but it is not too late. In fact, if you read on in Jeremiah chapter 18, the people said, well, it's too late. And they actually said, it's too late and we're not going to turn back. That's tragic. But it's not too late for America. And so I want to ask you to just pray the Spirit of God would come down upon us as a people in this nation, and that if there's adjustment that needs to be made in our hearts, our life, my people, we're His people. And in this nation, ask God for mercy. Ask Him to hold back whatever that judgment is that may be coming our way. Because God will judge wickedness, and He will judge the kind of sin and waywardness that we've seen. It's been so consistent. It's been so up in God's face. And just pray for His mercy and ask God to forgive us as a nation and to restore and to just a reprieve. For what reason? So we can preach the gospel more. So we can continue to be about His work in these days. Okay? So let's go ahead and take about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back. Well, here they are. Come on out, you guys. And Dave, come on up. Bethany and Jeff. And we thought we had 20s and 40s and 60s, but we didn't quite get exactly those decades. But you guys know Jeff and Bethany. Jeff is one of our associate pastors. Bethany is his bride. And you guys, do you guys know these guys? Do you know these guys? Chase and Jessica Acuna. And little Zion. And we want to hear from Zion tonight for sure. And I'm going to sip my joy. And this is Dave Sylvester. What I wanted to do was I wanted you guys to hear from these guys tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14 that in the multitude of counselors, one translation says safety, another one says that there's victory. And you've heard a lot from me about prayer, and you're likely to hear more from me about prayer. But I wanted you to hear from some husbands and wives and a wonderful, faithful brother from England a little bit more about prayer. And what we're going to talk about is how, you know, prayer is sort of like what kind of a rhythm have we established in our lives personally and as couples, and maybe a little bit about, you know, where we want to go in prayer as well, and what our hopes are for ourselves, but just a bit about our own relationship with the Lord and relationship with one another as it comes to prayer. And we're going to talk about prayer in these two different categories. Well, there's two double categories. You know, one is that prayer that is, and we've talked about this, that prayer that is communion. And it's just really you building your relationship with Jesus, you becoming stronger in Him. And the other category is advancing the work of the kingdom, how you pray for God to do great things in the world around us. And so I think we'll start there. But as we were talking earlier, Dave had a really, why don't you go ahead and take that? Dave had a really cool approach to the different kinds, different types of prayer. I think it's on already.
Is it on?
It should be, yeah.
Okay, okay, good.
So it's good to have you here, Dave.
It's good to be here.
It's wonderful to see you walking in today.
Thanks.
And this man, I didn't just ask him because he happens to be another pastor. Dave's a man of prayer. You hear me talk about getting out and walking in the morning and reading the Word a bit and praying. Dave's the one that set that example for me, and I appreciate him so much. So that's why.
Well, thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
That actually came out of Mark chapter 1, where after a really, really busy day of ministry where Jesus was, you know, healing people and casting out demons, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then it says it was evening time, and it says the whole town came out, and he healed everyone, you know. So you know this must have gone way into the night. And so, but the next verse says, and then the next day, a great while before day, it says Jesus got up and he went out, and there he prayed. And I remember reading that one time, and it really hit me that I thought, you know, one of the things that will really help me to not fall asleep when I get up in the morning is to follow his example. And if you get up and you get out, you know, you'll stand a better chance of not falling asleep, especially in England, as cold as it is outside. And so, you know, I just started adapting that kind of principle for myself, because I've just learned that when I'm walking and praying, I don't fall asleep usually. I mean, I have. I've been so tired that I have fallen asleep actually when I was walking just about. But it's really good because you get out and you can get, you know, alone with the Lord and just walk and pray and stop and pray and. So for me, that was really good. So for me, you know, instead of when I get up in the morning, instead of thinking about, okay, should I take a shower? Should I brush my teeth first? Should I pray? Should I eat first? Should I, you know, all of that stuff. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm going to be reading. And the first thing I do is I get out of bed and I know what I'm going to do. I've got my clothes set for walking. I've got, you know, my designated chapters. I know where I'm going. And so I just get up and I go do it and have that time with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. And then I come back home and you know, take care of the food and all that other stuff. But I think for me, one of the things I'd really stressed about that time is Pastor Bill mentioned communion. I think one of the things about prayer is that, you know, it really, for me, it developed a stride of really that communion and fellowship with God. And so for me, to get out and pray is really more about fellowship. Sometimes people ask me, what do you do at that time of the day? It's dark. You can't even see it. So you just fellowship with God. And when prayer turned into a time of fellowship with Him, and out of that fellowship, you know, He would initiate things that I'd need to pray for. He'd bring to my mind people I needed to pray for, you know. And it was a time of fellowship. And that took kind of that thing of duty. Oh, I need to pray for this amount of time, and I need to do this. And sit, you know, it took it from being that kind of a duty that can really it duty ends in failure usually, doesn't it? It just eventually comes to an end. But when it's communion and fellowship with God, it just grows and grows, and you don't want to leave it.
It's time with your friend, isn't it?
It's time with your friend. And so out of that time, one of the things that the Lord really spoke to my heart as far as kind of a pattern that was developing in my own fellowship time with the Lord was the things I would pray for. Because I'd noticed sometimes I'd be praying for the things that, you know, you're serving the Lord in. You're serving the Lord in, you know, many things. And so you find yourself praying for that. And other times you're praying as a soldier. You know, you're really doing battle praying as a soldier. And other times, you know, I found myself, you know, you just, usually when I start out, I'm praying as his son. And other times I'm praying as the shepherd, what God's called me to do. And so I realized that, you know, I like kind of putting all the S's together. So I pray as the son. I, you know, our Father which art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name. I pray as a saint, one who is set apart in the world. And I find myself praying as a soldier, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, that's kind of battle conversation right there. And then I pray as a son, I pray as a saint, I pray as a soldier, I pray as a servant. So I pray about the different things that, you know, God would have me do. And then I pray as a shepherd, you know, what he's called me to do specifically and for the sheep. And so And I found that kind of became my pattern. And so sometimes I actually use it as, you know, a bit of a pattern. But, you know, again, I don't like developing too many patterns and things because, you know, for the obvious reasons. But, yeah. So that's, and I will say this too, just kind of the last thing as far as, we've been in England 22 years now. 22 years as of June 15th. Wow. And we've been going for 20 years as a fellowship. And one of the things we established in the church right off the bat was a prayer meeting. So we meet Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon for people who can make it at lunchtime, and then Wednesday and Friday mornings at 7 for people who need to come early, and then we have a time before the service on Sunday. But we just set that up right from the beginning. And this is an interesting thing, is that everything that we have at the church, everything we have at the building, every chair, everything can be tied back to the prayer meeting. You know, it's just something we established, and that just became, for me, that's the church right there. And I've often thought that if everything quit, even the Sunday morning service, that would be the last thing to remain, because it's the backbone of everything that we do there. And so,
So just everything is tethered back to
everything.
The time of prayer.
Yeah. Wow. So it's just a really, you know, it's just the importance of that is can't be underscored enough. But so, yeah. Prayer is good.
I remember, you probably have a million stories, but tell the story about how, you know, you were praying for a place to meet. And Joy and I had just, it's when we first met you and Nancy, about 18 and a half years ago, we were coming through to visit all the Calvaries in England, and you were riding around on your bicycle in the rain, and so excited about what God had done, but it was in answer to something he had, I guess, revealed to you in prayer about where you were going to be.
Yeah, it's really an interesting story, actually, but just the short version is, I was praying about, I was living in Bradford, which is about an hour away from York. The Lord was stirring our heart to go to York, and so I prayed for, kind of specifically for a verse, and the Lord gave me a verse out of Ezekiel about you know, being the watchman on the wall, and York is a walled city, much like Jerusalem. And so, matter of fact, it was founded in 71 AD, and Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. And so it was, I thought, okay, well, if you know, I'm going to do that, I might as well do what a watchman would do. A watchman would get on the walls of the city, and they pray for the city. And so one day I was getting ready to walk on the walls, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, you know, we need a building. Give us a building that really represents York, not kind of a closed-down yogurt shop down at the end of some street. You know, give us something that really represents York. And but it was one of those prayers where I thought, okay, He's prompting me to pray this because he's going to answer it. He knows he's going to answer it, but he's prompting me to pray it, and I just knew it was going to be answered. But anyway, so I get on the city wall, and I'm walking around, and I get around to Walmgate Bar, which is not a bar. It's a gatehouse into the city. It's the easternmost gate. It's an ancient gate, And it was all closed up. It had been closed up for years. And it didn't have, you know, a toilet. It didn't have electric lighting. It didn't have anything in it. Just a stone show. And so I got there, and the door was cracked open. And I went inside, and there was a bunch of construction workers in there. And I thought, wow, what are you guys doing? They said, we're fixing it up. The council is going to rent the building. And I thought, wow, if there's any building that represented York, I mean, this building is the national monument. You know, I mean, and so I called up the city council, and I said, well, you know, I'm interested in the building. Have you already leased it out? And they said, no, you're the first person to call. And I said, oh, great. And so, we didn't have any money. You know, we didn't have anything to get a building. I just was inquiring about the building. And so the guy, well, let me tell you about the building. He said, historically, this building is where the watchmen of the city used to live. And so I thought, okay, this is really interesting. Later, I found out he was a Jehovah's Witness. But anyway, he still works for the council. But so I thought, okay, the big thing is the price, you know. And so I said, well, how much is it? And he said, 5,000 pounds. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, 5,000 pounds a month. And he said, no, 5,000 pounds a year. So I thought, wow. And so we ended up negotiating for 3,500 pounds a year.
And what's that? What would that have been in American dollars?
About $5,000 a year for a national monument on a city wall. And so we've had it now. We're going into our third 9-year lease with the building. And so the Lord provided everything. And then he provided chairs and he provided everything else.
And wasn't there a condition that you had to leave it open for tourists?
Well, yeah.
Or with the coffee shop.
I mean, they wanted it open so that people could come through and see the old building because it's, you know, such a historic building. And so now get this. This is really cool. They put about 5 years into working on the building. And they put 100,000 pounds of money into this building to fix it up and to put this really beautiful deck on the rooftop of the building. Yeah, you got some pictures of that. Yeah. With this really nice oak railing, they've insulated it. They've done all of this work on the building, and it's beautiful. And they're, of course, that means they're kind of pushing this building for tourists to come in, and that's where our coffee shop is. Yeah. And so the scaffolding just came down at the first of the year. And, I mean, it's gone from just a few coffees here and there throughout the day to people standing in line like a regular coffee shop. It's really cool. That's thing has just taken off, and it's rated the number one coffee shop in New York as far as coffee goes. And so
it is
pretty cool.
And it deserves it, yeah. God has done a great, great thing there. Thank you, man. Yeah. Thanks. I think I've got it. Son, saint, soldier, servant, and shepherd. Yeah. That's a great pattern. Great, great pattern. You should write a book on that.
I'm pretty jet-lagged, so there could be another one in there.
All right. I want to pass this over to Chase and Jessica first because they have the most movable element here. And so while he's being so cooperative, I want you guys to talk a little bit about just about your personal patterns of prayer and how what part is prayer play in your relationship together and just how do you get prayer done? How would you?
Okay.
You need to hold that up closer.
Okay. Okay.
By the way, I just said this is Chase and Jessica. They run our college-age ministry, which is now called?
Response.
Response, okay.
Yeah.
Get ready for more information on that.
Yeah. Hopefully this weekend. Yeah, you know what? So, that's a great question. I think...
He said amen.
All right, good. So I feel like for us, I guess personally, I'll go first. For me, growing up as a Christian, I had this love for God's Word. And in that, it was really easy for me to be able to dig in and continue to learn. But for a long time, it was really hard for me to pray. I felt like it wasn't necessarily a part of me. And then I remember reading this book by Ian Bounds called Power Through Prayer. And man, I was completely wrecked just hearing these stories about prayer. And I was like, man, this is amazing. I want this to be a part of my life. And I think at that point, prayer really started to saturate just different areas of my life. And so for me, I think from that book, I learned to set aside specific times to be able to pray. Not just times where, times just to kind of pray like right before you go to sleep or pray right before you eat, but to set aside time to just spend time with Jesus and just sitting in his presence and just being with him. And for me, that was really, really transformative, and it really completely changed just the way that I seen prayer. And then secondly, I would say, too, just hearing Paul's words when he says to pray without ceasing. I think also for me, I've been learning, even in a harder season that we came out of, just my need for Jesus, like all the time. Realizing, I think, in the last couple of years, just, man, how weak I am, and my need to be in constant communion with Jesus, my need to just be able to be dependent upon him. I'm realizing that, you know, if you're not dependent upon God in prayer, then you're depending on something else, right? So whether it be maybe your natural giftings, whether it be your abilities or something else, we all depend on something. Yeah. But again, just wanting to, as a Christian, make it be God that we are depending upon, and realizing that apart from him, we can do nothing. Abide in me and I in you, and apart from you, you can't do anything. But rather, that if we abide in him, then we'll bear much fruit. And so, for me, I think that was just kind of transformative.
And do you have a certain time of the day? When you just focus on and give that time?
So I try to give, I guess, the better time of my day, because I work a lot of nights, and then I also work a lot of mornings, and we also have a young baby right now. So because of that, we're still learning, I think, in a lot of ways, how to be able to just figure out how to spend those different chunks praying and just spend those different times just with Jesus in that way, and to be able to set those times aside. So for me, I have to wake up early sometimes before they wake up, or sometimes stay up later at night and stuff too to be able to just
pray before you wake up?
I'm
just kidding.
I do it right there, praying in spirit.
That's a gift, man. That's a gift.
But yeah.
So first part of the day?
Yeah, so usually the first part of the day, or sometimes if I work an early shift and stuff too, then right when I get home. Mm-hmm. And usually that's the time that I set aside and stuff too. But again, wanting to just be aware of Jesus, like that's my goal. But again, I fail at it, and I definitely, if you guys could pray for me, I always need, again, more prayer for sure.
How about Jessica? What about you? What's prayer like in your life? Do you have a time of the day that's just, I know it's difficult now. Babies change everything. Amen, said the mothers? And the dad said, huh?
You know, prayer used to be a time frame where it was a time set apart for individual prayer and then corporate prayer for us together and the friends. And I feel now it's kind of prayer's change. I would say the understanding of God as Father has changed too. And so I feel like prayer has changed so much since Zion's been here in the area of Thanksgiving. I feel like there's not really a time that I can set apart to pray and not expect it to be uninterrupted. And so prayer is in the middle of the night. I find my best times praying then. But I feel like the area of Thanksgiving has definitely grown with Zion. Like, I feel like I look at him and just thank God for how much he cares for me and how much he cares for just man in general and how much he loves Zion. And I feel like from there it just goes into intercession for other people and just seeing my need for him as a mom now for this little guy and for his salvation. And so I feel like dependency upon the Lord has grown in a whole new way with a baby in so many ways. And our corporate prayer has definitely changed too. I would say we used to go on prayer walks and just pray as we walked and kind of go back and forth. And then now I feel like as we hear prayer requests, as people will text us or as different things pop up, we just make it a habit to pray right then and there for our friends and family.
Cool. Pass it down to Bethany and Jeff. And why don't you guys answer that same question, prayer in the Wilson household?
What they just said, we just want to ditto that.
Okay.
Everything they said.
Nothing different.
I feel like I want to go first because I feel like Bethany is like the prayer warrior in our house. She definitely keeps our kids on track. Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, I'm a failure when it comes to that. I'm just like, let's eat. And she's very good about devos and we're going to do it at breakfast. I'm like, just one day, we're doing it. So she's very diligent. And so that's why I feel like I should go first and let the expert go second. For me, I feel like I have a bunch of scheduled times during the day because I work here and there's a bunch of times we schedule out here on staff to pray. I get reminded to pray when y'all call for prayer. I feel like let's do it right here and there. Like, let's not wait. I'll usually write a little post-it note by my desk. So if someone's calling and say, hey, my marriage needs prayer, I'll write right on my desk a little post-it note. And I'll, as I see that throughout the day, I'll pray. I love like the idea of just let's not wait. Let's just pray right now for whatever it is, because I have a bad memory, and if I don't write it down, then I'll forget. And so praying right there, then and there, for your coworkers or for your family, not waiting to say I'll pray for you later, but praying for them right then and there. I do have a time. It's my day off that I just get away, and in the mornings, and there's a spot that I'm not going to tell you about that I love, and I love it. I just love it. And there's times when I'm with the Lord, and there's a dialogue going back and forth, and He's changed my heart on things before, like just then and there, where I feel like I need to text her and say, hey, I've been this way or I've been that way, and I need to apologize or forgive me for this, and He's just changed my heart. It wasn't like I even went to that place looking for that, but He, in such a way, that communication, that sectioned out time where He's just spoken to me and directed my heart, and it's miraculous, I think. So for me, there's scheduled out time, there's time set aside, and
something you said, Jeff, about the Lord speaking to you during that time that you set aside just to be with Him. It's a two-way conversation. And how do you sense that? When you say the Lord spoke to you, made something very, very apparent to your heart.
Biggest trigger is the fact that I wouldn't have felt that way on my own to want to do that or to do that. That is just like it goes against my nature to be that way. There are times, it'll come from His Word. I'll be reading, and I know that's for me. But other times, it's just the Word aside, I'm praying, and the Lord just directs my heart on something, brings it to my attention. Mm-hmm. So, the expert.
Expert.
Go back. Like that, that's for sure. Just a couple things come to mind. The book that I read our first year of marriage was The Power of a Praying Wife by Stormy Omardian. And that was huge for me because there's things that there's ways that the Lord can speak to Jeff in ways that I never could. And I can nag Him about something over and over again. And it comes much way better coming from the Lord, because the Lord just does this moving, and it's so sweet to just see it happen. And you just are like, Lord, thank you so much. I mean, just really cool things, little things, big things, but that was a huge thing for me. And they also have The Power of a Praying Husband as well, written by her and her husband. But just agreeing with Chase and just about like continually praying. I mean, we have like direct access to the creator of the universe. And so having young kids and the world that we live in, there are constant fears that can strike me that are like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to protect our kids and just different things? But when you have that direct access to just say, Lord, I just give it to you. And I know like growing up, I would always hear my mom just say Jesus throughout the day, Jesus. I'd always be like, what is she talking about? Like, are we going to start praying? But I find myself doing it too, just like Jesus, He knows like the groanings of your heart. And then as far as like when I pray, it changes with seasons of my life. I did it when I was feeding babies in the middle of the night. I'm awake anyway, and tried to do it early in the morning. But right now, before the kids get out of school. They're in public school, and so I park in front of their school 45 minutes before they get out. And
that's how you get a parking spot.
Best.
There
that's
too,
to,
huh?
You get a good that's parking spot. But you get a good parking spot. It's my prayer time. And you're also locked in a nice, warm, like, closet. It's like your prayer closet, and there's no dishes, there's nobody knocking at the door, there's no emails or anything like that. It's just a sweet time with the Lord that I just love, and I know that's going to change now that they're out of school for the summer, so I'm going to have to figure that, out, getting up early, whatever. But there's that, and then what I've just started going through with the kids is just kind of like a little bit of a pattern of, you've probably heard of ACTS, acts, but A is for affirmation, just like, God, you're amazing, you're wonderful, all the attributes of the Lord, and then C, confession, T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. So just kind of teaching them that way of coming before the Lord, so it's not just like a random, pulling from the sky thing, which is great as well, but
So with the summer here, are you an early riser, kind of an early riser?
Bad.
Do you usually beat the kids up in the morning? I mean, not beat the kids up. Do you get up before the kids in the morning?
Well, it's funny because as the school year comes to an end, I get up later and later. I don't know why. It's so weird. But yeah, I'm going to be doing that during the summer, getting up before them. Because, I mean, I remember as a kid always waking up and my mom was sitting there with her Bible and that was the time that she got to herself. And the Lord.
I will just say that, that again, she's the expert. I'm just telling you. And I know she gets it from her mom and her dad. But I would just say this. There was a noticeable change in our marriage when Bethany became, she was reading that book that she mentioned, The Power of a Praying Wife. And it was just a noticeable change or something that transitioned in our marriage, that and love and respect. I mean, those are the two things that I think I would just say smoothed out a lot of rough edges in our marriage. It's truly that. It's like she could come after me with 100 different things that I don't do right, and yet she prays about them, and the Lord comes after me with those things now. So it's just great because it's better for us, and I can just say, Lord. But I'm just telling you, there was a huge difference in our marriage when she started praying.
Pass that down to the queen, please.
I love it when we get to pray for our husbands or pray for someone to make things change because he usually changes us and changes the other person as well. The first person I speak to in the morning is the Lord. That's been the way it's been ever since I've accepted the Lord. I open my eyes and I say, good morning, Lord. That's my first prayer in the morning is just good morning, Lord. And thank you for, Bill actually taught me early on when he was teaching the kids, good morning, Lord, and thank you for the brand new day. So that's the way my day starts out. And I learned a lot by reading the book, The Privilege by Kay Smith and how she prayed for Pastor Chuck all those years, and so I've begun to pray in that way, and there's a whole list of things. It's not a formula, but it is something that, you kind of follow along, and you can pray for anybody in that way. You can pray for anybody to have the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would strengthen that, that the Lord would strengthen that person in temptation, not take them away from temptation, but strengthen them in temptation so that the next time temptation comes, they're able to stand against that temptation, that they would sense the presence of the Lord with them because we don't know what our husbands are going through at any time, that they would know his presence, that they would seek him in all of their decisions. When I'm praying for someone else, I pray that the Lord would cause them to seek him in all of their decisions. But I just really sense that I need to tell the story about what happened the other night.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I was going to ask you to do
that. Sunday night, I could not sleep. I just couldn't sleep. It's unusual for me not to be able to. And so I got up, and I was in the living room, and I was just, crying out to the Lord. So my kids were on my mind, and a precious saint in the church, Jolene, who has bone cancer, and we're praying for her, and she was on my mind, and I was just praying for these things, and finally went to sleep, and got up in the morning, and first thing, good morning, Lord, thank you for this brand new day, and then I went to my little calendar that is a peanuts calendar, and I love peanuts, and it's the one that you peel off each day. And so I read this one. Well, Linus was at camp, and he was fearful at being at camp, and he'd been crying about being at camp. But the other kids asked him, it's time to tell a story. So Linus said, well, it reminds me of a story in Jeremiah. So I looked at it, and I want to read it to you, because if it hadn't happened, I'll tell you a couple of things about this scripture, but the scripture that he said, it reminds me of Jeremiah. Refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. So I really did sense that, number one, that verse was for somebody else in here. You've been praying for your kids, and you're worried about whether or not they're going to come back to the Lord. But this, God said, and when we pray and we say, God, you said that you were going to bring my children back to your borders. He is a man of his word, and he will bring it to pass, because that's what he said he would do. When we lived in Australia, this verse was one that the Lord gave us, because we were concerned, Bill and I were concerned, that our girls were going to find boys to marry in Australia. And we didn't want them to stay there.
Imagine that, Jeff.
And so, Jeff, you can thank me for getting your bride too.
And Jesse, yeah.
But at that time, that was that the children shall come back to their own border.
And I remember that the Lord gave us that verse on the same day when we were packing up the van to drive to the airport to move to Australia. I went out one way in the morning to sit down and pray and read the word, and it was right at that point. It said, no, they're coming back. They'll come back here. Yeah. Not that Australian husbands can't be good, but, you know, anyway, go ahead.
So, you know, in praying, it was brought up, how do we hear from the Lord? This is how we hear from the Lord, right here.
The text.
You are in the Word of God every day. That's how you hear from God. Sometimes He'll speak to you in something that will just come to your mind, and you'll just go, it'll be a remembrance of thing. God said that I will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever you have need of. He can't bring it to your remembrance if you haven't put it there. And so you got to be in the Word. You got to be in the Word. You got to be in the Word of God and find out what He has to say to you. And the other thing about prayer that I really learned, that I am so excited about learning, is that this is time invested. When we take our money and we spend our money, we don't have anything. We might have an item to show for it, but that item will waste away. But when we invest our money, we get interest on it. That's what happens when we invest our time in prayer. Mm-hmm. When we invest our time with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have more than what we put into it. God is a God of His Word, and whatever He's told to you, He's gonna bring it to pass. And so I'm just going on and on. So anyway, that's how I pray.
Well done. I hope that Dave's going to ask to share one more thing. I hope one of the things that you're getting is none of us up here are experts. You've heard every one of us say, and you've heard me say over the months we've been talking about prayer, that I want to learn more about prayer. I want to be more faithful in prayer. And I love all these S's that Dave gave us. But I want to pray in those categories, and I want to pray faithfully and fervently in all of those. And I want to know Jesus better, and I want to advance the work of the kingdom through us here. But I hope this has been encouraging for you to not give up, but to take a step forward. Don't give up, don't move back, but take a step forward and give God more attention and more time. And I'll share one little last thing before we go, but go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, that for me, I don't always, you know, go out in the morning, so I didn't want to give you that idea. I mean, I do a lot, but, you know, sometimes I stay by. I mean, I have a fire that I have going in the morning, too, and sometimes it's nice just to sit by the fire. And I think, but my point is that, you know, we just need to have a lot of grace, you know, for ourselves as well, you know, when you're tired and things like that, and to just relax with the Lord. He just wants to spend time with us, and you know, whether we, you know, did our routine or what, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we just end up spending time with God. And sometimes, you know, we don't have really anything to say. And some of the best prayer times I've had with the Lord are when I don't say anything. I'm just in His Word, like Joy was saying, and He's speaking to me. And, you know, that's the best thing that, I mean, it can't really get any better than God speaking to you, you know. And and so I think, you know, just relaxing with the Lord is so important, and not really feeling like, oh, I didn't do what my agenda was with it. You know, and just enjoying the Lord more than anything else, you know.
Yeah, come to me, sit with me, listen to me. He says, talk to me. He wants to hear from you. And so Joy had another one. Just, any of the rest of you guys that want to add anything else that's come to mind? Go ahead.
Just a quick word for you with little ones. The scripture says he will gently lead those who are with young. Yeah. So just relax and enjoy the moment.
They go by so fast. Anybody else want to add one last thing? Oh, anybody?
I'll hold it.
Okay. Well, I want to read this to you. We haven't really dug into this, and I won't really dig into it tonight, but I think it's important. How many of you grew up learning prayers, and you could still recite the prayers? How many of you prayed like this? How many of you do pray over your meal? At least say, thank you for feeding us. Good. If you haven't started, that's a great place to start, just some gratitude towards heaven. But I remember this prayer, and some of you will remember it as well. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. I think I was 3 or 4 years old when I learned to take my turn at praying that prayer. And there's nothing wrong with those words. But I want to encourage you to get off of the script and get into the scripture. And let the scripture begin to inform your prayers and start speaking the language of scripture when you read promises and you say, God, that promise is for me and you're our children, Lord. I believe you're saying you're going to bring our children back. And I believe you're saying to pray for our nation. And even though it looks like it's too late, and just pray the scripture, not just the set script. I've been reading through it's a secular book. It's one of the novels, a tiny little novel by Hemingway, The Old Man and the Sea. It captured my attention years ago. And the thought of this man who gave so much energy into catching the big, you know, fish. And by the time he got back, it was gone. And he'd given his life to that thing, which has faded away. But I was at this one point where he's been dragged through the sea for a day and a half by this fish. And he's going into another night. And so he prays he said, I'm not a religious man. But so he prayed a bunch of Hail Marys and he prayed an Our Father. But listen to this. He's praying, he's just prayed a Hail Mary, but listen to the end of this. He says, so Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death, amen. And Blessed Virgin, pray for the death of this fish, wonderful though he is. And he got off the script, and you know, think about that what you may. But I want to encourage you to get beyond the script that you've learned and just the sort of the memorized writ and speak your heart to God. I hope you have heard me say that a half a dozen times. You might hear me say it again. So let's take that to heart and touch the heart of God with our prayer, the communion prayer, the confession prayer, and the kingdom praying as we move forward. Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Actually, go ahead. One more thing. The last thing I was thinking about too is, again, as Bill was saying too, don't think that any of us have it together when it comes to prayer. And again, it is a battle. I think each time that I pray, a lot of times it's a battle because mm-hmm. I think with prayer, it really is an act of faith because you're like, you don't always see results right away. Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes decades. But again, knowing that you're speaking to the living God is what's huge. And just knowing that, man, there's so many times where I start out in prayer and it's hard for me to connect. And then when I realize who I'm really speaking to, then it turns everything around. When I'm like, man, I'm speaking to the God who created everything. Mm-hmm. And I have this relationship with him because of Jesus. And in it, it's not a forced thing for us to do, but man, this is a privilege to be able to know that, man, at any time I can cry out, Abba, Father, because again, of what he's done for us through Jesus. Amen. So, yeah.
Right on. Yeah, thank you. Okay, let's all stand, okay? And I'm going to have Dave close us in prayer. And I want to say this too. I don't know if you knew this, but Jake and Jaleesa that led us in prayer, Jake is Chase's brother. And so there's some family connection up here on the stage tonight. So Dave, would you pray for us as we conclude tonight?
Yes. Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to share together these things that are so important. And Lord, help us to be, we just need to be communing with you more. And you delight, Lord, to spend time with us. You want to reveal yourself to us through prayer. Lord, you want us to understand more about you, more about ourselves, yes, more about others. Lord, you want us to get involved with you and serving you. Yes, you want us to get connected with your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. You want us to know more about you as our Father. Mm-hmm. And Lord, also as the soldiers, Lord, you want to teach us, like David said, you teach my fingers to fight, to war. And Lord, we do that now by lifting them up for people, by turning pages of our Bibles and learning from you. And Lord, you love us and you want us to know you more. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I think about your words. You said, this is eternal life, that we might know you. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we want to know you. And of course, Lord, I think that happens most in prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for that privilege that we have. And help us all, Lord. It's a growing thing. Lord, we're growing in these things. Yes. And may we just enjoy that whole process of growing and learning, yes, and just developing as we pray and learn to pray. And so we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And thank you, all you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.